Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
John chapter 12, verses 37 to 43. John chapter 12, verses 37 to 43. Now, in this passage of Scripture, keep in mind the topic, rejection by Israel. Rejection by Israel. All right, let's read. John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers so many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, several times through the Bible, we find the two references from Isaiah that are quoted here. And every time they are evidence of the rejection of Jesus Christ and God's righteousness by the Jews. In other words, these statements are not made concerning individual Jews. These statements are made concerning the entire nation of Israel. There is a difference. Look, for instance, in John chapter 12, verse 38 of our text today, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, this particular passage of Scripture that is quoted by John is found in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And you ought to go over there and look at it. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, if you're familiar with your Bible at all, you're familiar that Isaiah chapter 53 is often called the chapter of the suffering servant. It is a chapter that is entirely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and predominantly his crucifixion, despised and rejected of men, hid as it were our faces from him, borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, all that stuff. These verses here of Isaiah chapter 53 are about the crucifixion. They're all about the suffering servant, and they are about the crowd of Jews. If they will believe him, they will be saved. Look in verse 37 of our text, John chapter 12, verse 37. The Bible says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now, when Jesus Christ came and performed those miracles, he even told the Pharisees who didn't believe on him, if you won't believe what I say, and if you don't believe what John the Baptist said, if you don't believe the voice of my Father in heaven, believe the works, believe the miracles. See, in other words, when this thing is spoken in John chapter 12, verse 38 and 39, it is an alert to that crowd of people that are there that Jesus Christ himself is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, and that if they will believe him, they will be saved. Look in Acts chapter 8. Look in Acts chapter 8. And read the story again of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8. Okay, Philip joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. And in verse 30, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter," and so forth. That's Isaiah 53. And then he said in verse 34, to Philip, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. So when Philip preached this particular text, the Ethiopian eunuch got saved, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and was baptized. When the Jews in John chapter 12 heard the verse in the context of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was fixing to happen, they didn't believe him. Now later, this same passage of Scripture is quoted by Paul to emphasize the national rejection of Jesus Christ by Israel. Look at the same passage we just studied here in John chapter 12, verse 38 and 39, shows up in Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Now, in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul asks several questions. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, and so forth and so on. Then, verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Now, he makes that statement concerning the nation of Israel. Look at the context in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, that is spoken concerning the entire nation of Israel. Look at verse 18, same chapter, Romans 10, 18, following the verse that he quoted in verse 16. Verse 18 says, "Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." It's the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles that he's talking about there in Romans 10, 18 to 20, and the national rejection by the Jews. Therefore, Romans chapter 10 shows you that in the age in which you and I live, salvation is an individual thing. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Same chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's based upon what people do with the preaching of the gospel in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, was speaking to that crowd in John chapter 12, had done miracles in front of that crowd in John chapter 12, had raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, made a blind man to see who was born blind from his mother's womb in John chapter 9, and myriad miracles, and they rejected him. They had no faith in what he said. They had no faith in what he demonstrated. He gave them signs. Paul explains to us why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Jews require a sign. Jews require a sign. So he gave them the sign. He gave them the preaching. He gave them the Word of God. He is the Word of God incarnate, and they rejected him. So salvation then is individual now, but there it was national, and they would not be saved. Therefore, it opened the gospel to the Gentiles. It opened the gospel to us, and it opened the gospel individually to Jews who would trust Jesus Christ. That's what's going on in John chapter 12. Look at it again in our text in John chapter 12 in verses 39 to 41, because he quotes Isaiah again. The point of this is this. When Jesus Christ came to the Jews, he came to the nation, and the nation rejected him. Now, the reason we're studying this passage so carefully in John chapter 12 is because there's a group of people who have perverted the context of John chapter 12 and the verses from Isaiah to indicate that God blinds those who are of a depraved mind, that individually they cannot be saved. And this does not have to do with individuals. It has to do with a nation. And that's why we need to look at the other verses from Isaiah that are quoted in John chapter 12, verses 39 to 41, so that you can see, in fact, that every time these things show up, they show up to a nation and not to an individual. Now look at it. The stuff in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, was directed right at Israel. It's all in the context of Paul's preaching on Israel from Romans 9 to Romans chapter 11. What he said here in John chapter 12 is directed toward that nation. I'll show it to you here in just a second. And what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 was directed toward the nation. In Isaiah chapter 6, the same thing. Watch it. Isaiah chapter 6. Let's read John chapter 12, 39 to 41 first. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, he was healing people, and there were those who were understanding and believing. So it'd be a contradiction to say that he couldn't do those things. He was doing those things individually. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. All right, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and see when that happened. Isaiah chapter 6, and let's see when that happened. Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord reveals himself to Isaiah, and then he sends Isaiah in verse 8. He gives him his commission in verse 9. He said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, tribulation, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, tribulation. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, tribulation. Yet in it shall be a tent that shall return and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. There's just a remnant. See, Isaiah goes on in Isaiah chapter 6 in the context to tell the Jews and show the Jews in the tribulation, and that only a remnant would be saved. You know what that's like? You know what that's like? It's like the context of Romans chapter 10, found in Romans chapter 9. Paul is dealing with the Jews as a nation in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 27, he says this, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. It's a national thing. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. And as a result of their national rejection of the Lord, the gospel was opened to the Gentiles. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we then say? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, national, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Who is the stumbling stone? It's the man that is quoting the verses in John chapter 12. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him, Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. The stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. The stumbling stone is the crucifixion. And that's what's about to happen right after John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, and then they crucified him. Now, John chapter 12, verses 39 to 41, are not the only verses where we find Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, quoted. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10 is also quoted in Matthew chapter 13. Let's go back there, because by cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture, we'll be able to learn whether or not what we're seeing in the context of John chapter 12 is so. John chapter 12, the verses we're studying today, deals with the national rejection of Jesus Christ by Israel. It does not deal with God blinding the minds and hearts and eyes and shutting the ears of individual people so that they individually cannot be saved. And yet there are people who would teach that text that way. And we're showing you by context everywhere these verses show up in the Bible so that you'll understand these verses always are aimed at Israel as a nation. And that makes perfect sense, because right now the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is closed in Israel. Well, there are some that are doing work there, but they are working with individual Jews and not with the nation. They can't. God will in time, but right now they can't. Now in Matthew chapter 13, where this shows up again, verses 14 and 15. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears they hear. He was talking to his disciples. His disciples in this particular passage, a man said, represent the remnant of Israel that will be saved during the tribulation. They're representative of it because the entire nation makes the rejection. But just the disciples are the only ones who get to see the kingdom of heaven parables concerning the mystery of the kingdom of heaven in a mystery form. They're the only ones that get to see it. You know why their eyes are closed, their ears are dull of hearing, and their heart is waxed gross in Matthew chapter 13? It's very simple, because in Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 to 32, they had just committed the unpardonable sin. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They couldn't be further from the truth. And Jesus Christ plainly told them, if Satan be divided against himself, his kingdom cannot stand. And they didn't get it. So Jesus Christ said in verse 31 of Matthew 12, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. They shut their eyes, their heart waxed gross. He hardened their heart. They had just accused the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ incarnate as being from the devil. And as a nation, they rejected him. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus Christ's desire was the salvation of Israel. He told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. He told the Syrophoenician Canaanite Greek woman, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his desire. The desire of Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 9 was identical to that of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 15. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, Paul the Apostle said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and so forth. God Almighty's desire for the nation of Israel was their salvation. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They couldn't get it, and God would not force it. They rejected Jesus Christ, and therefore God rejected them. In God's sovereignty, people say, but God is sovereign. You better believe he's sovereign. But in God's sovereignty, he could have forced the salvation of Israel. He could have forced the opening of their eyes, the opening of their heart, the opening of their ears, and the conversion of that nation, and the healing of that nation. He could have forced it right then. He's that sovereign. And he could have forced them with irresistible grace. But he didn't. If irresistible grace was true, and if God's salvation by sovereignty is true, like it's taught by the Calvinist, God would have forced it right then, because it was the Lord's desire, it was Paul's desire, it was God's desire, but he wouldn't force it. God will not force it. Listen. Listen, man. On God's calendar, in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that right now blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And the verse 26 says, so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer who shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That happens at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God could have done it right there on the spot in John chapter 12. But he didn't. Because, as in Isaiah, as in Matthew chapter 12, as in Matthew chapter 13, as in Romans chapter 9, as in Romans chapter 10, they rejected Jesus Christ. They did it in Acts chapter 28. They did it in Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, Paul had his opportunity to speak with the nation of Israel, those representatives of that nation that were in Rome. He expounded and testified the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 28, verse 23. And in verse 24, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. In other words, individually, there were those who believed and got saved, but as a nation, they turned him off. And you know what Paul said in verse 25? When they agreed not among themselves, they departed, and after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, there it is again. Hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. The heart of this people is waxed gross, ears are dull of hearing, eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, should be converted, and I should heal them. Same thing that he said in John, same thing that he said in Isaiah, same thing that he said in Matthew. What is it? It is the national rejection of Israel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? In consequence to what he said in Acts chapter 28, verse 27, what did he say? He said in Acts chapter 28, verse 28, Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. There it is. Ultimately, we know the nation of Israel will be saved, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and according to Jeremiah chapter 30. We know that. The point is, Jesus Christ could have done it right there at his first advent before the crucifixion. But because they had rejected him as their Messiah, because they had rejected him as their king, because they had rejected the work of the Holy Spirit, because they had rejected the testimony of God, because they had rejected the miracles, because they had rejected the worst words of Jesus Christ, because they had rejected the words of John the Baptist, he shut their eyes and would not convert that nation at that time. Not until the second advent will that nation be saved. As Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah 30, 11, same thing. "I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee." People who apply John chapter 12, therefore, to individuals are insane. You know why? Because look at the end of John chapter 12. Look at verses 42 and 43. "In spite of the fact that the eyes were closed, the ears were dull, the heart was hard," John chapter 12, verse 42 says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers," individuals, "also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Well, there's a sermon in verses 42 and 43 by itself. But look at the point. The point is, nationally, eyes shut, just like Romans chapter 11 said, blindness in part has happened to Israel. But the individuals, even some of the chief rulers, were getting saved. Why? Because the depravity of man that says God will only save those whom he came to save and will damn everybody else whom he foreknew and forechose to damn is just not so. And you can't use any of the verses that are used in any of the places that we just showed you to prove that, because they don't have anything to do with individuals. They have to do with the nation of Israel. Well, I hope this has cleared up something for you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.